We've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, especially when God is leading me, to share about the difference between a body and a soul and a spirit, because we are a body and a soul and a spirit. We are three parts, we're all in one nice package, but we are comprised of three different areas. And understanding that is actually very important, because the spirit is supposed to be leading us. And often, if we don't understand the separation of soul and spirit and the body, the flesh, it might get a little confusing. And so today we're going to read a bunch of verses, because we'll get into this a little bit more, but we will start with Hebrews chapter 4. It's a verse that I have alluded to and actually stated a couple of times. But Hebrews 4, and we're going to read verse number 12 to begin. We'll probably jump around a little bit to various things. We'll show you what the Word of God says about various things. But we will start in Hebrews 4, and we will read verse number 12. And let's bow our heads and pray before we begin this Word. Father, we present this to you, God. Lord, I know that nothing good can come from me and my flesh, even as your word says. I agree with that, Lord, and I present myself to you, Lord. Let these words be spirit and let them be life. Let them be eternal, Lord. Let them cause something great in each one of our hearts and our minds and our bodies to awaken. Lord, I present it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read this verse. It is a very powerful, it's a huge verse. You might not look it from the outside, but the Word of God is inexhaustible. And it says this, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is able to pierce to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. He gives us the understanding that there are three parts to us: soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That's our flesh. That's our body. So we're three parts. And the Bible says that we are to divide these between soul and spirit. We're supposed to be able to divide those parts of us. But it looks difficult to divide them if we don't know what they are. But it also tells us that the Word of God has the keys for us. It says the Word of God will be the one who discerns it. It will be what helps us understand the difference between our soul and our spirit. And so today we're going to go a little bit mining into the Word of God and to look at various parts which tell us what these various functions in us are. Because we're supposed to be led by the Spirit and not led by our body and not led by our soul. And that is the entire reason why that we are to discern between the two. And so we're going to look at Psalm 41 verse 2. I'm going to jump around and throughout the Bible and look at things. Psalm 41 verse 2. And a lot of times, because the spirit and the soul are so closely tied, especially in our lives, often we think that something that is directly from our soul is from the spirit. It happens a lot. It happens a lot, especially if you've not been consciously trying to discern between soul and spirit. A lot of times what happens is you think something that is very much from the soul could be from the spirit. And that is not a good thing. And so we need to know what the difference is. Psalm 41:2. Can you guys turn there? There we go. It says this: the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on all the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. That last phrase, you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies, that word is a Hebrew word. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I know how to look things up. And this word is a word which is also translated over and over and over in the New Testament as the soul. It's translated in many cases as the soul. The will is part of the soul. The decision place of us is in the soul. Of course it has to be, because think about it even from a logical point of view. God gave us free will. That means we're able to decide. When we make decisions, do we always make decisions that are right? Of course we don't. It is from the soulish part of us. It is from the part of us that is controlled by the soul. Decision making, our will, as we say, is a soulish thing. So when we make decisions, we can either make them for the spirit or we can make them for our flesh. The flesh is one of those terms. You don't hear that term too much outside of Christian circles, outside of the church. It kind of represents the body and the soul, everything that's non-spirit. So when I say that word, even though it sounds a little strange to the ears, it means everything that comprises the non-spiritual part of our being, because we are three part beings. So everything that's part of the body and everything that's part of the soul, we kind of lump into one term called flesh.
And so this tells us that decision-making part of us is part of the soul, and it needs to be controlled by the Spirit.
If you could also turn to Psalm 139 and verse number 14, Psalm 139, verse 14. So we have, in the past couple weeks, I've been telling you that the soul is comprised of the will, the mind, and the emotions, our personalities, our desires. This is all part of the soul. And so here's another part. Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. The soul knows, because the soul has understanding. The soul has the ability to take in knowledge. That's where we learn. We learn into our soul. It is a place of understanding. It is a place of knowledge. It doesn't mean that it's bad, because there are certainly good things. The Bible tells us that we should gain knowledge. We should gain understanding. Proverbs even tells us, with all thy getting, get understanding. So it is a good thing to get it, but it depends what we do with it. It depends how we use it. It depends who's controlling it. It depends what we do with that knowledge, and then we make decisions, and then we act it out into our bodies and into our world, and we manifest certain things, all based on knowledge and understanding.
But it's all still, we have to understand. Where it comes from is the soul,
and not necessarily from the Spirit. And in fact, this is actually a good example of where oftentimes we could think that, you know, we understand something now, and now that's from the Spirit. It doesn't necessarily have to be the case, because knowledge in itself is from the soul.
And it goes in through the soul. We can easily think that something is spiritual because we learned it, or we knew it, or we read it.
And all those things are not necessarily bad. I'm not saying that those are bad, but they have to be controlled by the Spirit and not by ourselves.
Okay? If you think about understanding, knowledge, all of that, and you think about all the things that this encompasses, we could see there are so many practical things that are really straight from the soulish realm.
our doubts, these are from the soulish realm. Because we start to analyze and we start to logically figure it all out. Right? When we start to do that as human beings, it's a natural thing to do. But this is all from the soul. All the things that we can analyze and we can figure out, it's all from the soulish part of us. It's not necessarily from the spirit part of us. And many times we can actually believe it is from the spirit part, and sometimes it might be, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. Because that part of us, that understanding, that knowledge, that figuring out, that logical part of us, is from the soul. I used to remember hearing that there were people, and they would get presented with a situation, sometimes a situation that you think is not that difficult, but they, instead of immediately jumping into a decision, instead of immediately deciding what to do, they would say, well, let me pray about it. Now, I know a lot of Christians do that just to put you off. A lot of Christians do that. You ask them to do something, it might even be an obvious thing, a no-brainer to do, and they'll give you the answer, let me pray about it. Okay, I know what that means in many cases. That means I don't really want to do it, but I don't really want to tell you I don't want to do it right now. But there are people in many cases who are very sincere, and they say, I want to pray about something before I do it. And that means they want to bring the spirit realm into it. Not just to go on their own understanding. Because their own understanding could be led by the wrong forces. We have a spirit, we have a body, and the Bible tells us that the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh, and who decides is the one in the middle, because the soul is in the middle. And if the soul makes a decision one way or for the flesh, we will act it out. And if the soul makes a decision for the spirit, we will act that out as well. And there is a difference between knowing, understanding something, and then that part of our spirit, because in our spirit is a difference, because our spirit has that place of us where we know that we know that we know. It's not something that's necessarily taught to us. It is something that we just know in our being that is correct. That's a different place. And many of us have experienced that, and hopefully all of us have experienced that. There are so many examples that I could give. There are certain things that come to us, and we just have a peace from God, and we know that it's the right thing to do. Even though everybody around us and everything with logic screams that it's the wrong thing, but we just know that we know that we know that it's the right thing to do. That's that spirit part of us. And it's just that has a knowledge that is from God. And not from figuring things out logically and analyzing all the different routes that things could go down. It is a knowledge from God. And there are other times when you might have a problem, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and sometimes it comes in the middle of your sleep, and sometimes it comes when you're not even thinking about it, there's a solution that just pops into your head. Something that you would have never thought of. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where you're struggling with an issue, and then all of a sudden, the answer comes. And you're almost surprised by it, because it's so out of the realm of what you would think. And that's that spirit part, because that spirit part of you understands and knows. It has a knowledge that we just don't normally possess in and of ourselves. And there are many examples that we can continue to give, but there's a difference between the soulish knowledge and the spiritual knowledge. And this is even why the Bible tells us in 1 John, it says that you have no need for anyone to teach you. Now we do have need to be taught and understand certain things, but that spirit part of us, it doesn't need to be taught by anyone. No one needs to teach the Spirit what to do. No one needs the Spirit inside of us. And remember, the Bible tells us that if you're joined to the Lord, you're one with Him. You're one with Him in spirit. We don't need the Holy Spirit. It doesn't need to be taught by anyone. He's inside of us. If we are saved.
If we have accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord. There is a beautiful thing that happens at salvation where Christ, His Spirit, comes to dwell in us and empowers us. The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ.
So we have this in our spirits.
And then we have all the things that go on in our minds and ourselves. We have our own plans that we work out, all part of that mind, all part of that knowing, that soul is part of us.
Sometimes we have little superstitions, that's all part of our mind. It's all part of our being.
And sometimes we have little schemes that we cook up, little things, manipulating things.
That's all part of the soulish realm.
Not in control of the Spirit. Now, many times, there are good things that we want to do. There could be even good things that originate in our soul. But even good things need to be submitted to God, because there are many people doing wonderful things.
But that might not be what God's plan is for them. They might be doing wonderful things.
So it's not just bad things from the soul. Even good things need to be submitted to God.
Even good things need to be submitted to our Spirit's direction and leading.
Let's turn over to Matthew 26 and verse 38. It's Matthew 26 and verse 38. For another part of our soulish nature.
So far we have the mind, understanding, knowledge, our wills. And then we have this verse which says this. This is Jesus talking. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me."
He says, "My soul is sorrowful," because the soul is also the seat of our emotions.
It's the seat of our emotions.
So the seat of the place where we have so many feelings.
And has anyone ever experienced that? That place where the emotions take over and then you do things that aren't right? You say things that aren't right. You
act that are something that's not appropriate.
You act a little un-Christ-like.
It's because the soul is in control and the soul acts out on its emotions and controls the flesh, and then all of a sudden you say something that you didn't want to say, or you act in a way that you didn't want to say, or you fire off that email that you shouldn't have fired off and then you regret it later.
It's because the soul is in control for that while, because the emotions have taken over and you've acted on them.
And we are supposed to discern between soul and spirit. And this is part of that. So when we are afraid, that fear, part of the soul.
And the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to fear, because love is supposed to overcome fear. But fear is part of the soul. Worry is part of the soul. All when not submitted to our spirit is not good for us.
You see how We could think that so much is actually might be from God,
but it's actually not from God at all. It's from ourselves, because it's all originated in a place which is not necessarily in God's control.
And maybe all these examples are too much to handle.
Even offense. So let's go there. If you're offended all the time, if you're easily offended, if you're easily hurt, it's a soulish quality, because that is part of the emotion.
That is part of the emotional state of us.
And if that happens, that is our soul rising up. And then we could easily then understand why God says that we are, that love is supposed to be above all things. Because when we love, we will overlook so many things. It says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the thing that could overcome all of the other stuff that's in our soul. So God makes it number one. God makes it his number one priority. Love God, love people. He makes it number one for very good reason. When we get angry, the soul. Guilt, the soul. Shame, the soul. All soulish qualities. And often we think we're so spiritual. Maybe we're just soulish. But yet we throw a few God words around and we think we're spiritual. But really, maybe we're just soulish. If we're controlled by our emotions, if we're controlled even by our logical mind. Those of you who are Star Trek fans, logic, Mr. Spock, soulish. That's all. No spirit there. Desires. I'm gonna. Could you go to Psalm 84? 84 verse 2. Psalm 84 verse 2 goes into the next thing, which we would say is desires. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My soul does that because my soul, along with being the seat of emotion, and also is the seat of desires. Our desires, our longings, they come from the soul. They could be good or they could be not good. They could be spiritual or they could be unspiritual. It doesn't mean just because it's in the soul that it's bad. What is important is who and what controls it. Where is it getting its influence, and who is influencing it to act? My soul longs, and it even faints. Its desires originate in the soul. And our desires do that same thing. And these could be good desires, they could be not good desires. A worldly desire is the desire for power. Worldly desire for control. Worldly desire for wealth. All kinds of desires. Some people desire position. Some people desire to be seen of others. All kinds of desires. All need to be submitted to God. All need to be submitted to the leading of God's Spirit. As we discern between soul and spirit. We could go on and on. Desires such as lustful desires. Easily. Something starts out as a seed of lust, and then many times it's acted out into our flesh because the soul is controlling and makes the body act. Even little preferences. They might be needy desires, but all of our preferences. I prefer this. I prefer steak. I prefer peanut butter. I prefer all these different things. I prefer blue. I prefer this. I prefer this type of song. I prefer that type of book. All preferences, they're still from the soul. Still from the soul. That's why even when we sing, it is all worshiping to God, whether it's a tune from another culture or a tune from us. Spiritual. Worship is spiritual. It's not necessarily a preference. It's a spiritual thing. When we make it a preference, then it becomes soul. When we make it what we want, and this goes for any subject, when we make it what we want, it becomes from the soul. and it ceases to become from the Spirit. And this is why the Bible says we should discern between soul and spirit, because often we could think that what we believe is right, what we prefer is from the Spirit, when really it's straight from the soul. Because the soul is the seat of desires. The soul is the seat of preferences. And if you really think about it, if you've been around church circles for any length of time, you've probably heard of troubles that happen within the church. Probably most of them are all because the soul is not in check. One person has a preference. One group has a preference. One thinks something is more important than the other one. The soul is the thing that almost always is at the heart of the problems that occur within, inside the church, and often outside the church. It's the soul. And we think we're being spiritual. It's the soul.
And then when we wrap our whole personality, you take all these things, the mind, the will, the emotions, our desires,
it all kind of wraps up all into our personality.
And our personality is kind of going right along with it. When you take all these things as a big conglomerate, we have our personality as another part of our soul. And so you say, well, how do I know? How do I know? Is there any easy way? Probably not an easy way. Probably not a general way to know what is of the Spirit and what is of the flesh. But you could probably use this as a guideline. If you want
control, and you want to be controlled by preferences that are for you, it's probably leaning towards the flesh. If you want to know an easy rule to start out with, is something of me or is something of God? Is it of the flesh? Is it of the Spirit? Can I discern between all of these things? What is of the Spirit and what is of the flesh? An easy way, a first level, but it will cover so much ground, is if it's for you, if it's for your preference, if it is selfish for you, if you want it because you want it, it's probably leaning towards the flesh. Doesn't mean that all of our desires are bad desires. But if it really is selfish, especially at the expense of others, I prefer this as opposed to what they want. I like this as opposed to what someone else likes. I want my way as opposed to the other way. It probably is a good indicator that you might be in the soulish realm, being led by the flesh. It probably is a good indicator that you're being led by the flesh. Not always. Not always. We do have good desires. It doesn't mean that we're all bad, although the Bible clearly says there is no good thing in our flesh. That's what the Bible says. No good thing. Paul says it of him. And maybe some of you out there are better than Paul. I don't know. But Paul says there's nothing good in my flesh. Nothing good in my flesh.
I know it's a little sobering. A sobering thing to hear all these things. It's like why I should know this stuff. God is merciful. When things originate even from our minds, our wills, our emotions, when we act out on just those factors, those forces, probably led by the soulish nature and not the spiritual nature. Right? We have to be able to discern between what is soul and what is spirit. I don't like to do something. I can't do something. It's not who I am. Soulish. Even little things. And so, if it's an often, if you've also been in church circles for a long time, when you hear that term, the flesh, a lot of times
The immediate connotation, the immediate thing that comes to your mind is somebody that's exaggerated, maybe it's somebody that's loud, maybe it's somebody that's emotional, an emotional thing. And yes, that happens. That happens. There is some of the flesh that gets in these situations. There's no denying that. But then you also couple it with the fact that the Bible says that we should shout unto the Lord. We should shout unto the Lord. The Bible says that we should clap our hands to the Lord. The Bible says that. The Bible says that we should clap our hands to the Lord.
And Tuesday night, we even read
that we should dance unto the Lord. Ooh, I don't know if that's in your Bibles, it's in mine. It says that. Dance unto the Lord. Oh my gosh, David was even saved? The Bible says that. We don't know if David would be able to stay in our churches. But that's what the Bible says.
And so all those expressions, they all need to be led by the Spirit.
And what happens when we're not led by the Spirit? That's when we have the flesh.
And so even when we're all silent, it doesn't mean that we're led by the Spirit.
Even when we're all silent and we're all proper, we could be very much being led by the flesh.
Because anything that's not controlled by the Spirit is the flesh. So if the Bible tells us to do, the Bible actually says that, Paul says, I desire that men everywhere would pray lifting holy hands.
Men everywhere should pray lifting holy hands. And so is it possible that we can never lift our hands, that we can never shout to the Lord, that we can never clap to the Lord, that we can never dance to the Lord and be still led by the Spirit all the time?
When the Bible says that we should all be doing these things,
that means that even in our stoicness, even in our properness, even in our conservativeness, we can be led by the flesh. Because the flesh is not the emotional displays. It could be anything that is led by man. I need to look proper, soulish. I don't want to be embarrassed, soulish.
I don't want anyone to see me, soulish. Anything that's not led by the Spirit.
And I'm not saying that we should get all crazy. I don't fear that at all. And I'm not saying that.
I'm saying we should be led by the Spirit. And that the Bible tells us that these things are part of being led by the Spirit in their proper order. But if never done, and we could go on and on and talk about more and more things. They might not be led by the Spirit in all cases. When we're led by the Spirit,
when we're led by the flesh, we know that our focus is usually on ourselves. When we're led by the Spirit, our focus is on Christ.
Our focus is on Christ.
Our focus is not on us. It's on others. And it's on Christ our Lord. When we're led by the Spirit, our focus should be on Him. And our focus should be on His kingdom. And our focus should be on others. And our focus should be on the love that we have for God.
And if it's other reasons, then we should be skeptical.
Then we should be skeptical. We should We should actively try and discern, what are my motives? Why am I doing what am I doing? Am I doing this because I was taught something? Am I doing because it was tradition? Am I doing this because it makes me feel good? Am I doing it because I'm used to doing this? Or am I doing this because I love Jesus? Am I doing this because I love God? And I'm going to do whatever He says to do. If that's our reasoning, maybe we'll still make mistakes. But at least the Spirit has the opportunity to work. At least the Spirit has the opportunity to work through you. If you're a blank slate saying, "I'll do whatever you want, God. I'll do whatever you want. Because it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about what I desire, it's about you. I might have my desires, but I submit them to you. I might have my passions, I submit them to you. I might have my ideas, but I submit them to you. Because it's not about me, it's about you. And I want to be led by you. I want to be strengthened by you. I want to be controlled by you. I don't want to be controlled by my flesh. I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God which is inside me." Can you turn to Ephesians 3, verse 16? Ephesians 3, verse 16. "I want to be led by my Spirit. And I know that if I'm controlled by my emotions, I might mess up. And I know that if I'm controlled by my own passion, I might mess up. So I want to be led by God. I have all those things. We're very well educated. We've had much experience." And that has produced a lot of automatic responses. Everything needs to be submitted to God. If you look throughout the Bible, you will see time and time again that God tells people to do things that don't make sense. They don't make sense. And to us, we would logically explain most of these things away. Gideon going to go to war with 300 people doesn't make sense. Marching around Jericho, the walls fall down, that doesn't make sense. When you submit the plans to God, He operates in a different realm. He operates in that spirit realm. It doesn't necessarily follow our logical rules. This is Paul's prayer. This is one of those prayers. It's called an apostolic prayer. Paul prays this for the churches that we are included in that too. I've prayed this dozens of times for myself and for others and for you. And he says this, that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That is a great prayer. That is a great prayer. If you're looking for something to pray, just grab a hold of that verse and pray it any way you can. Take phrases, take whatever you can and pray it back to God, because it is really an incredible thing. Let the worship team come on up now. We're almost done. Pray this verse, that you would be strengthened in the inner man. The inner man is the spiritual part of you. That you would be strengthened in the spiritual part of you. He's saying that the riches of God's glory are available, and that they will strengthen you in that spirit part of you. Because that's where we need to be strengthened. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to rise up. That is where we need to grow. As we discern between the soul and the spirit, as we know how to rightly divide the word, as we look into the word and we see this is from the soul, this is from the spirit, this is from the flesh. Paul says, "I want you to be strengthened in the inner man." He knows that it's a struggle. And he prays, and we too should pray, to be strengthened in that inner man. Because it is a war. The spirit against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. And if we're to make an impact in the world, if we're to make a change even in our own lives, we need the Spirit's leading. We need the Spirit's leading. This is part of the reason why, and I won't go down this trail, I'll toss the idea, this is why so much of the self-help stuff doesn't work. Because it's all the outer man trying to change the soul. It's all, I'm going to behave a little differently, I'm going to do things a little differently, and I'm going to affect the soul. It's the world's attempt at working from the outside, the body in, and God works from the inside, the Spirit out. We need to be strengthened in the inner man. We need to be controlled by the inner man. May God help us to do that.